Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalogue. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. I'm currently listening to The Secret Hours by Mick Herron. That's the standalone prequel to the majestic Slow Horses television series. I can't stop listening. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. That's audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network, suboptimal radio.
It's hard to explain, but you kind of sense that the team might have lost how to win a game. And I said to them half times, I'm not sure these know how to win a game, lads, you know, away from home particularly.
From the Men in Blazers studios in the crap part of Bedford, New York, and the crap part of the South Fork of Long Island, it's the Men in Blazers podcast, Rog.
We back like the Colorado Avalanche. Could we be living in a world in which Stan Kroenke holds both the Super Bowl, Stanley Cup, and is making a total bollocks of Arsenal, David?
Yeah, well, Rams, Avalanche. I mean, really, what a sports entrepreneur in every field of his sporting life, except for Arsenal Football Club.
Best owner in the world! What I realised last night watching the Colorado Avalanche, who were truly, it was like watching a team of Trent Alexander-Arnold on ice. So far, so pure, so overwhelmingly good. If the Premier League started to award the winner's trophy to, let's just say, the owner and not the captain of the team, how quickly do you think Stan would be investing to win it all immediately?
Well, how quickly would fans just literally start open revolution at that point?
Kroenke, always humble in his pursuit of glory. I should say, I did love watching the Avalanche because we taped it. I still listen to it on the regs, and I think we should drop the podcast again because it is so bloody inspirational. We dropped a Cale Makar podcast, one that we taped last season. I listened to it again over the weekend, and I just joked about Stan Kroenke being humble. But Cale Makar, what a humble young giant that kid is. 23 years old, just MVP of the Stanley Cup. His whole upbringing, his dad Gary, remarkable in the wisdom with which he really worked with Cale to develop the skills that he has. His story is bloody inspirational. Godspeed. Godspeed to the Makar family.
Yeah, Rog, might be quiet time in football. There's some other sport going on, a little bit to entertain us. We skip right by the US Open and Matthew Fitzpatrick's win last week. But frankly, everything in the world of sport seems to pale in comparison to other events in the world.
It's true, Dave. It's straight off the top. We have to acknowledge really the darkest news of last week, the demise of Roe versus Wade at the hands of the Supreme Court, a decision which has been much analysed in more intelligent ways, pretty well everywhere else, but for which we can't apologise for talking about at the top of this podcast, such as its seismic impact on our nation, on the rest of the world. Also, as we'll discuss, on the sport that we love. Top level, you know, the values of this podcast are, and we're actually about to unleash a new logo to this effect, I like to think they are about empathy, love, community. And as a gent, you know, just basic, I don't believe men should tell women what to do with their lives and their bodies. That's just a human truth, right, David?
It's just shocking. I think as anyone who, you know, arrived in this country as we did and loves America as much as we both love, there are certain things that go on that sometimes are just very hard to compute with this freedom and, frankly, privacy-loving nation where we choose to live. And I find this very difficult to reconcile with what my idea of America is.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I go beyond that. I'm actually filled with fear about what's happening to our nation in this moment because of the sense of division, you know, the tearing of the fabric which binds us. That's what ultimately, I mean, this was not the only decision last week that was remarkable. And there is a almost willfully being disregarded sense of the collective. And you know, all week I'm like, where are the leaders calling for tolerance, for empathy, for community, for love? I only hear the opposite, really a delight in bants and anger and cruelty. And when you play that out and you project it forward, not just in days and weeks, but through an election cycle, through a decade, and I do feel a hurtling towards a darkness. But in terms of football and this decision, the football reaction actually made me proud. The football community, or part of the football community in America, is inherently progressive. It always has been. Football in the United States, after all, is really about the future. It's always been forward-looking. At its best, is grounded in the notion of diversity and really an emphasis on passion and community. I'd say it was amazing to see Gotham FC, my local NWSL club, Gotham FC, get a statement out on this issue so bloody quickly. Gotham FC, Davo, actually got a public statement out before the Democratic Party, which is both wonderful and awful in equal
and
measure.
Terrifying. Yeah, absolutely.
And in general, I was so proud seeing NWSL lead in this moment, really lead with a sense of responsibility and intelligence right across the league. The league, the teams, the players, which I regret most men's clubs did not have. The MLS teams who have an affiliation with NWSL, like Portland Timbers, they did put out a statement. And should say huge love to the MLS teams with no affiliation to a women's team who also stepped up. Seattle Sounders, I won't forget what you did. Stephen Fry, what a king he is. Google him if you didn't see Stephen Fry, the Seattle Sounders goalkeeper, addressed the issue. My fellow new American citizen. Let's just say he displayed the kind of leadership I think the US men's national team truly could do with in this moment. But the silence of men's clubs was staggering. Actually, huge credit to the USL. USL, God bless you, came out with a statement quickly, which adds even more to my next point. Davo, the MLS. MLS is largely silent as teams and definitely as a league. And I think it's really harrowing.
Yeah, I mean, so much of this, Rog, right, is that we've lost faith in our institutions. We've lost faith in the people who run our institutions. And they feel more and more disconnected from regular Americans of whatever political persuasion they have. And that we need institutions at this point, whether it's football clubs or football leagues, to step up and do something. And, you know, MLS has always had this, you know, I don't know how I'd put it, slightly corporate / commercial bent to it and bent to its ambition. You know, they just closed an enormous rights deal with Apple. They're still in business with a bunch of other media networks. And probably they're just, to me, that's they're just trying to be careful, trying not to like offend anyone. Leagues have a responsibility to step up and say something.
To those who say it's just a league, why should a league do anything? In context, the NBA did quickly and articulately. And I do believe as a sports league, you can't have it both ways as a league. You can't do pride warm-up tops and, you know, Juneteenth jerseys and then decide to be silent in true sizing moments of national challenge. You can't pick and choose. You can't decide, guys, we're going to sit this one out. You can't. And furthermore, the one truth, the one thing that I truly believe, in times of challenge, your true colours, that's when your truth is revealed. And we are sadly, painfully, traumatically in a massive, massive time of national challenge. And last element of football and this decision, you know, I want to raise the impact on the female athletes themselves, which was articulated for me most poignantly by Portland Thorns goalkeeper Bella Bixby, who wrote an incredible thread. Go and find it on Twitter. She wrote it almost immediately the decision was dropped. And Bella wrote, "We can't keep politics out of sports because the athletes that comprise the leagues you watch for entertainment are having their rights stripped away left and right. And it won't stop with the overturn of Roe. And yet we're asked that we just shut up and don't speak on it. Griswold versus Connecticut is up for grabs. While this obviously has far-reaching impact beyond women in sports, this would have a profound effect on our ability to delay family planning. Professional male athletes do not bear this burden." And I want to finish with that. And as I said on Friday, producer Jay Dubs, his incredible partner Ashley, has dedicated her life to being a family nurse practitioner at Columbia OBGYN Family Planning. And she just advised us to say this: support abortionfunds.org, Planned Parenthood, of course the ACLU, and the link for the National Network of Abortion Funds is on our Twitter. To better days ahead for all, David. And we turn to the football in this moment as a joy, as a lift, but it can't act as a repression. But Godspeed.
Rog, can you try to lift our spirits with a toast?
A quick toast. I want to raise my third first bud of the day to a magical personal moment for me. My book, Reborn in the USA, and this is an incredible time to bring out a book that tries to focus on these issues. The subtitle, An Englishman's Letter to His Chosen Home. It's my memoir. You remember it well. It was a New York Times bestseller. It was an Amazon Book of the Year. And it comes out in paperback tomorrow, Tuesday. It's like the hardback, but much cheaper. And it has a new afterword, which really attempts to capture all that happened in the United States in the year since the book came out. And there was a lot of light. And there was a lot of challenge. And the new afterword includes stories about Gayle King discussing my micropenis and Jason Isbell. Well, I want to be clear, with no connection between those two things. I need to make that utterly, utterly clear. Jason Isbell and micropenis, two very separate stories. Please, please, please buy a copy. Spread the word. There are few things that I've created that mean more to me than this beauty, which, as the magnificent Mina Kimes wrote on the back of the book, a reminder. And it makes me tear up when I actually read this at the moment. A reminder of not only what it means to pursue the American dream, but what that dream should and still can represent. Grab your copy at independent bookstores, wherever books are sold. And for those who love the book, my publisher's giving away Liverpool College Breaking Crew patches on the book website. No proof of purchase required. Sign up now. Get yours. Please spread the word. I want to be clear, I'm as in love with the idea of America as much as ever, and dedicate my life to closing the gap between the idea and the reality. As the great Langston Hughes said, in a line I use as the book's epigraph, "Let America be America again, the land that never has been yet and yet must be."
Yes, Rog, that book will be up and on sale on our website, menandblazers.com, tomorrow, Tuesday, June 28th. And as if that is not enough to celebrate this release, as you mentioned, you and the GFOPs at HarperCollins are giving readers a chance to win exclusive Liverpool Breaking Crew patches. That information is going to be on our social tomorrow, the same day the book is released. And in other news, your live show, Rog, with Frank Lampard and Everton Football Club in Washington, D.C., Thursday, July 14th. What parallel universe am I living in? Sold out in less than an hour last week. What a response. And while the show is sold out, you will be raising a class with any and all GFOPs afterward. It's open to anyone and everyone, even if you didn't attend the show. That announcement will be on our social as soon as we nail down a venue. That night ends up only one way, Rog. Jumbo Slice.
Does anyone know how late Ben's Chili Bowl stays open? I'm asking for a friend.
Okay, Rog, to the football. And massive news over the weekend that a footballer who at times has achieved what appears to be impossible, and we're not just talking about simultaneously being bald and having a man bun, is headed to these shores. Over the weekend, news broke that Gareth Bale is heading from Real Madrid to LAFC. We'll get to that in just a second, but let's start with more front office news at Chelsea Football Club, where club legend Petr Cech is set to depart.
Oh, can we just say, we are, if you've not noticed, in the quietest moment of the men's footballing calendar, although we should be thundering through the group stages of the 2022 World Cup. the corrupt, stench, distortion of football's calendar. Just lifting the entire tournament and plopping it down in November has left us with a rare thing, a footballing vacuum, which is barely filled with wild Ronaldo rumours, Mbappe and NBA draft videos, and photographs of Pep paddling in the Caribbean waves. Nice shorts, Pep. The transfer window has become our everything. Just ask a United fan sweating it out on no new incomings with the first day of the season, just 41 clicks away. And Pogba splitting like Jerry Hall from Rupi Murds and going Pogback 2 to Juventus imminently. But the big news, Davo, comes out of your beloved Chelsea. They continue to clean office in the front house. Peter Cech, the latest to sadly pick up his helmet, put it in a cardboard box and exit his office. He's going to leave his role as technical and performance advisor this week. Todd Bowley has appointed himself, fear not, as chairman and, quote, interim negotiator. How worried are you about this complete and utter front office transition? A lot of English Chelsea fans are beginning to freak the F out. How much change is too much change following the departures of the chairman, Bruce Buck, and the incredible hands-on everything director, Marina Granovskaya?
There's more association football expertise in the boardrooms and suites of Richmond AFC than there are at Chelsea at this point. It's like an episode of Billions. I feel like we should pitch Chillions, which is like a cross between Billions and Chelsea Football Club at this point. Burley's gone in, and I mean, credit to him. He's been aggressive. He's just got rid of everyone who's been associated with this club and any of their transfers and any of their player dealings before. And he's out there kind of on his own.
Too much football knowledge. Get out!
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Too dealing much experience.
This insane world of, and any time you've spent around, you know, the world of international football agents and international football trading, it is chaos. He must be just tearing what's left of his hair out. I don't know, Rog. It seems like a bizarre move, but like, it's like it's a very aggressive, frankly, Billions-style play.
I mean, it is quite fascinating. You know, Hollywood, they always say that if you arrive there with just $1 billion, just the sharks and the hucksters and the BSers will just utterly salivate and fleece you. We talked a lot on this podcast how the American owners that flourish in the anarchy and chaos, it's so different to the American sports ownership model, which we've always joked is like socialism for rich guys, you know, with the draft and the rev share and the salary cap. I mean, English football is just a wild thing. And the Premier League owners that do great, like FSG, who had a steep learning curve. They made mistakes at the outset, but they course corrected, learned what they don't know. They know what they don't know, appointed football people to work with them to fill in those vacuums. And then you see, obviously, the Glazers, who still, how many years? 13 years in, have no idea what they're doing, making all the decisions in that bubble in Tampa and just burning through a fortune within the words of their own CEO, very little to show for it. And God, I would say Chelsea fans, Todd Bowley, everybody I know, and I had a drink on Friday night with some people who know him very, very well. They all talk about how smart he is, how serious he is, how strategic he is. So I would say, do not worry until Todd Bowley appoints himself as interim number 9. That would be probably the moment that I would start to panic. He's not quite there yet. But having said that, the big news out of Chelsea Football Club, the departure of Romelu Lukaku, who arrived as a cheat code last August, having blasted 64 goals in 95 Inter games. He arrived for $124 million. He was going to solve every problem. This week, he'll take a medical and quit less than a year later, really. And this haunts me, as a broken gent on loan for about $8.5 million plus add-ons back to Inter. It's really been a belly flop, his second coming at Stamford Bridge. A glove that does not fit. Hailed by the English tabloids as one of the worst Premier League transfers of all time. Where does Romelu Lukaku 2 rank in terms of Torres, Shevchenko, Higuain, Chelsea, Hall of Shame number 9 horrors, David?
But if he performs under that loan, probably haven't lost insane amounts of money because he'll still have some transfer value. If he doesn't perform under that loan, it's going to be the most expensive flop in Chelsea history, without a doubt, because of the amount they paid for him. I mean, it's not like he's a player that it's tough. I mean, I don't know. He's, and this sort of feels like everywhere he went and played is that, other than perhaps Italy, is that I don't feel an enormous amount of passion for him. I don't think Chelsea fans ever warmed to him and were desperate for him to succeed on a human level, perhaps on a financial level, or perhaps on a sort of a level of need that you wanted a striker to perform. But there isn't anything, you know, to some extent, as I think many Man United fans would say, and perhaps some Everton fans as well, that he sort of leaves you a little cold on the way out.
Everton loved them. We were his one true Premier League home. And I'll just say to anyone who's ginger and plays on the wing, and anybody else who maybe their name rhymes with Mitch Arlison, just look at the Lukaku story as a cautionary tale of what happens when you leave Goodison Park. But more on that later. Lots of change and turmoil at Chelsea. Ziyech rumoured to be heading to Milan. Lots of smoke, but no fire surrounding Pulisic and Timo Werner too. Raz poised to become the first of six rumoured signings. We talked about Sterling at Chelsea last week. No longer the first choice, almost trusted for Pep. As reports of Thomas Tuchel being handed £250 million to spend on up to six players, including a pair of new centre-backs. Among the main targets are Matthias de Ligt, Jules Koundé, Sterling, Jonathan Klaus, Ousmane Dembélé, and King Richarlison also floated. Dave, times they are a-changing at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, I've also spoken to a number of people who know Todd Boehly, and the, you know, the one thing they do say about him, and by the way, I mean, I think this is common of a lot of the Americans who come in and own teams, is they look for deals. They're looking for the, here are the things that other people have missed, and I'm going to go and make this deal, and I'm going to go and hide it under. This may not be the time for that. If you just read any Chelsea fan site right now, it's announce Sterling, announce delete, announce anyone to sort of get the ball rolling and feel as though this administration is really starting. I don't think it's a value market.
I've got a huge amount of respect for Todd Boehly. And, you know, I spoke to a couple of people on Friday, told me that man has teeth. So I know he's probably listening to this podcast and looking for transfer tips. I'll just say Michael Keane. Note that one down. And if you want a value, because I don't want to leave you hanging, about 50 to 60 million, call me Todd. Talking about big, big power moves, Arsenal Football Club. Arsenal bought a striker. I would say an elite-esque striker, Davo, Gabriel Jesus, who joins from Manchester City, where Pep never truly trusted him as first choice. It is Arsenal's fourth signing of the summer, following the arrivals of Marquinhos, Matt Turner and Fabio Vieira. 8 goals in 28 appearances last season. Gabriel Jesus, Davo, the arrival of Haaland squeezed him out at City. What do you make of it?
Exactly. He wasn't going to play at Man City. I think it's a pretty smart piece of business. I think he's going to be lively and experienced up there. Very good record for Brazil's national team. I like it. I really like the move. I like everything that Arsenal have done in the offseason. I know there's been a lot of criticism for the amount they paid to re-sign Eddie Nketiah, but I think that's smart as well. So, yeah, I think they're moving very much in the right direction.
Jesus at City was not always viewed as clinical enough when matched against his XG, but he knows Arteta so well from his time as assistant coach at Manchester City. Arteta knows him. And I think if Arteta can work out how to deploy this tactically flexible Brazilian international who can play up top or on the flank, I think it's going to be a remarkable pickup. And talking about remarkable Arsenal pickups, God, I was so moved this morning watching Matt Turner, or how Arsenal are already calling him Matty Turner, just announced this morning. What a human being, Dave. One, to me, of the most inspirational male footballers that have ever emerged from the American game.
Fantastic keeper. You know, there are going to be enough games. Everybody's very worried that he's not going to play enough. But I think there are going to be enough games and enough competitions with a little bit of resting players to get him some reps, Rog. So I'm very excited to see him play for Arsenal Football Club.
Producer J-Dubs and I had the chance to spend a chunk of the afternoon with him last Friday, and his take on the not playing was, you know, I was playing the whole time with the Revs, and that was not enough to seal the first choice for the United States men's national team. So I needed to make some kind of change. He knows it's a gamble, but God, the emotions he must be feeling this morning, and huge love to Arsenal, who really, I think, captured it with the video they dropped. This was a gentleman that baseball was his true love, did not start playing seriously until the age of 16 in high school. Never played goalkeeper before, has been doubted at every single level, barely got into college. His dad had to really fight to have a scout come out to watch him in a tournament, and Fairfield took him. In one of his first games for Fairfield, he dropped a howler, a clanger, which made him a Sports Centre feature, a not top 10 feature. It felt like for a season his career was over. But man, this kid is so bloody tenacious, forced his way back, became all conference, but again, not drafted by MLS, had to fight his way onto the Revolution, and he's now about to play for Arsenal, the team he supported as a teen, and even as a Rev, by the way. He'd go to supporters' bars to watch Arsenal Football Club, tweeted about how much he hates the Spurs. And that story, that narrative, that sense of last starfighter possibility, I'm so bloody thrilled for him. He's an incredible human being. We've got a magnificent interview with him, which is about to drop shortly. Really is. And I'll say this for now. Bergen County Buffon is a beacon of light for late bloomers everywhere. And I tweeted that this morning. I had some people saying, 16? Really? Is that a late bloomer? I was later than that. There are professionals who take the field, make their debut in the Premier League at 16. Pulisic was already over in Germany age 16. Matt Turner had barely kicked a football before the age of 16. And Godspeed to you. You make us all hope that everything is possible. And I did love, as I said, Arsenal's announcement post this morning. Welcome home, Matty Turner. There's so much brilliant football as we come down to the stretch of the Premier League season. But if you're a Premier League neutral who wants a little bit of that title race excitement, check out Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can get in on the action and win up to 100 times your cash. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across our nation, including California, Texas, and Georgia. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. It's that easy. You can also mix and match players from several leagues across the globe, as well as other sports like basketball and hockey. That's right, Prize Picks. Essentially a utopia where polysport action can live and breathe. I'm talking Washington Caps, Everton, and Chicago Bulls action all at once in the face. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favorites in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke Espresso Blend. Have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage.
Big news out of Manchester City too.
Yes, latest to reach agreement with the defending champions, Leeds talisman midfielder Calvin Phillips, from the face of the club at Leeds to Rodri apprentice, really essentially Fernandinho with hair, right, Dave? 52 million plus add-ons. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's tough because Calvin Phillips coming back from injury, you know, has not quite looked the same player. I mean, I think he played maybe a couple of games for Leeds or one game for Leeds, played a couple of very poor games for England. We'll see if he can make that side. and we'll see how he does. It's going to be important for him, especially if he wants to make the England, you know, starting 11 or even the squad before Qatar.
More than anything, to me, such a huge loss for Leeds and Jesse Marsh, a gent who was born and bred in the city. I remember tweeting, Dave, during the Euros last summer, I tweeted something like, Calvin Phillips is playing like a man possessed with the idea of playing his way into a massive move before England crash out. And being told to F off by countless Leeds fans who were just sure that this son of the city would never leave them. And I guess you can tell yourself he's simply going to be the son of another type of city, a live golfy kind of city, because, well, City, it feels like they're buying everyone or swapping Raz and Jesus for Haaland and his enormous, enormous wages and Calvin Phillips, proper baller Calvin to me, who will benefit from Pep's tutelage, and I hope that it will improve England as a knock-on effect. But who are Leeds heavily linked to now as his replacement?
Yes, Tyler Adams.
My mate, who has also been linked to Spanish and Portuguese teams, but is now heavily rumoured to be reunited with his former Red Bull New York and Leipzig coach, Jesse Marsh, at Leeds. Devo, I would love that. I really would. At it, Josh Wolf tweeted us to say, Jesse Marsh trying to get as many American regulars on the team so they can have as much time together as possible before the World Cup 2026. What a big brain move.
Yeah, I'd love to see Tyler Adams play in the Premier League, and particularly at Leeds, who, as you've mentioned, are fast becoming America's team over there. Just would be an excellent, excellent training ground for him to play not too many games before the World Cup in Qatar.
At Jack Chaz, GFOP, came up with this, really a slice of genius. He said, Leeds United, States of America, which is like Olivia Newton-John Travolta. I always love those little run-ons. Talking of Americans, my friend Dave Murphy, doing business, the CEO of Nottingham Forest from Connecticut, splashed out $21 million for 24-year-old Union Berlin striker Taiwo Awoniyi. A club record for the Nigerian international came through at Liverpool and blasted 20 goals in 43 games in Germany last season. He'll become proper, proper Premier League at last. Dean Henderson, also poised to join from Manchester United as goalkeeping playoff hero Bryce Samba, remains uncertain to stay. One last piece of transfer news. Spurs this morning, cruelly linked to Richarlison, which I want to be clear, I'm okay with that. Needs and deserves a move to Champions League football. He served us well. But this morning, Dave, news broke there also. They're also after Anthony Gordon.
That would be crushing.
Exactly. And I normally try and stay objective on this podcast and just survey the news. But let me just say publicly, as I know Daniel Levy of Spurs listens to this podcast, keep your bald bastard hands off my ginger prince, Anthony Gordon, or at least wait until after the July 14th show in Washington, D.C., because I won't be on the stage with him. But, Dave, we tarry and we sully, we lollop, because in massive, massive American news, Gareth Bale, LAFC, it should be said.
Wow.
Wales, golf, In-N-Out Burger, MLS. He's not coming to LA to play the Fire and the Rapids. He's coming to Bel Air Country Club and Lakeside Golf Club, right?
Yeah, Bel Air, Lakeside. Probably going to play at Riviera, maybe a couple of rounds at Brentwood.
I think he had membership as part of his contract at Riviera.
Yeah, he may end up spending a little bit more time down in Orange County, Pelican Hill. I could see him playing that. Go down to San Diego.
Just training, lads. What do you make of it? How do you think he'll be? It's a wild, wild card, bringing in a gent who played just 5 games for Real Madrid in La Liga last season. I think he actually played 10 games for Wales, for whom he was still a game changer, slower than our memory, but still able to step up and take over games in minutes.
You know, he's lived, you know, you talked a lot about, you know, Stevie G when he came out and played in MLS, that he just felt, you know, totally out of sorts, you know, living in a different country, living in a different culture. You know, fortunately, Gareth Bale has lived in a different culture. There are golf courses in Los Angeles, as you've rightly pointed out. So I think he'll do pretty well.
I think for me, the move is definitely a Los Angeles move first and an MLS move second. He loves, made no secret of his love of California, his love of Los Angeles and MLS. You know, for the older gents, the veterans, let's say, you know, some crueler would say the dinosaurs who do arrive, really how they do is all about what mental sense of motivation they bring to it. For every Wayne Rooney who thrived here, wanted to prove himself, needed to prove himself, was seething after his year at Everton, an awful return, his butting heads with some of those, had so bloody much to prove and really thrived here. Loved that you could play football and create highlights that were still heard around the world, but also he could walk around DC and be barely noticed. He was away from the tabloid noise, as will Gareth Bale. You know, the only tabloids that are crueler, arguably, than the English ones are the Spanish ones. He will love that low profile. He'll love the opportunity to be anonymous. You look at Zlatan, who came and played so bloody hard in MLS, a gent who truly thrived here to the extent that he could go right back and click right back in elite European football. But for each one of those, there's a Pirlo, as you mentioned, there's a Steven Gerrard, gents who either coast or are completely befuddled by the slog and grind and sporadic artificial turf and surreal baseball diamond of MLS, which has come on leaps and bounds, but is so far from the glitz and the glamour. When you talk to these players, they'll say, you know, they are so used to first-class pampering of elite European football. There is a culture shock that they need to get beyond. And Bale is fascinating. It's really an unknown, because this is a gent, after all, who has never given too much of a crap over the past few years in Madrid. And he arrives as a gent whose professionalism at club level has been, let's just say, questionable. But you look at the World Cup, he needs to get match fit for the World Cup for his beloved Wales. And it's going to be fascinating to see how hard he tries, game in, game out. LAFC, it should be said, have not paid top dollar, what they call DP, designated player money. So to some extent, they're taking a mitigated risk here. But I say, the notion in our heads, that notion when you heard that Bale was coming, you shut your eyes, that incredible crowd, that incredible culture, that incredible stadium, it genuinely is. It's a very remarkable fan culture they built. God bless our friend Steve Cherundolo, who is the manager at LAFC. That feeling when you heard Bale, that optimistic, that joyous, that sense of what is possible. If even a fraction of that comes to be, it will be magnificent to watch.
Also, Rog, some big news coming out of one of my favorite football acronyms, PGMOL. You know, the Professional Game Match Officials Limited, where there's been a change at the top.
The king is dead. Long live the new king. Yes, referee chief Mike Riley will step down as general manager of the Professional Game Match Officials Limited. Who came up with that name, Dave? It really rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Pugmall.
Pugmall, we need to catch you on for the referees. Our referees brand needs to be improved. Let's call ourselves Pugmall. I don't know, guys. He's going to step down. He's held that role for 13 years, culminating in the introduction slash botch job of VAR. And he'll be replaced by Howard Webb, a King Bald who's been running MLS's refereeing. He really is an impressive bloke. I spent some time with him. I like him a huge amount. And while the grassroots of US refereeing is as challenged as the grassroots of English refereeing in our social media age, where it's just abuse that's heaped upon refereeing, which really makes you wonder, why would anyone become a referee? That's kind of where we are. That problem exists in America. That problem exists in England, most definitely. But it should be said, Howard Webb did roll out VAR so much better, so much more practically over here. And really, there's a sea change of refereeing. Old friends John Moss, Mike Riley and Mike Dean are retiring over the summer.
Oh my God.
A sea change is about to hit refereeing. It's going to be an uptick for Pugmall, because it couldn't have been more erratic, the refereeing last season.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know. If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
Can we talk about some actual football right now? The U.S. women's national team defeated Colombia 3-0 Saturday night in Denver, Colorado. The first two from Windsor's Sophia Smith and the third from University of Colorado product Taylor Korniak on her U.S. women's national team debut.
The U.S. continue to tune up for World Cup qualifying, which begins in Mexico, by strolling ultimately against Colombia 3-0, a win which sounds more emphatic than it was if you actually watch the game. A slog of a first half, which saw our friend Lindsey Horan have a penalty saved, but a young US team really dominate for a long period without finding the clinical edge to finish, to create anything off set pieces, just blown crosses, blown finishes, a lot of rust, let's say that. And then the arrival of Ashley Sanchez at halftime changed the tone of the game. Rose Lavelle ultimately stepped up to craft two sublimely exquisite chances for Sophia Smith to surge and finish. Taylor Korniak, with a delicious flick, added a third on her debut. A really beautiful moment. Everyone, though, in America who watched that game just said the same thing. God, we miss Kat Mercurio out with her ACL tear. And while the US toil against mediocre opposition, the Euros is about to kick off in England, kicking off July the 6th, pitting one of the single most competitive fields of teams ever to clash in competition. Spain, Germany, France, England amongst the favourites. A tournament which, God bless, please God, poised to grow the women's game even more. Truly yeah. Soaring in England at the moment. We've talked at length, Davo, when we grew up, women footballers, disgustingly marginal. We were a deeply misogynistic football culture. They were flung to the periphery. But since the 2012 Olympics, the women's game has soared. And I just hope this tournament can cap 10 years that have really changed the face of women's football. It's really, to me, the greatest continental story of our lifetime.
The Premier League clubs, I think, have largely stepped up and really supported it. The Football Association as well. And most importantly, I think, you know, the media and the fans. And there's a lot of buzz around this tournament. And I, for one, certainly am looking forward to it.
The women's game in England has made such great strides. It should be said, though, there's still so much to do. That next level, we can fill Wembley for delirious games, as we did in 2012. But to consistently fill stadia at club level needs consistent marketing dollars, consistent brand support. Same as here, really, in the United States for the club game. That chicken and egg conundrum must be solved. I just wrote last week an op-ed that's going to be running in Sportico, urging brands in the United States to step up and do more. Same in England as in America, same truth in Britain. And brand CEOs who are listening, get on it.
Rog, before I ask for a toast to bring us home, we should remind all GFOPs that your paperback for Reborn in the USA is out tomorrow, Tuesday, June 28th. You can purchase on our website.
And Godspeed to each and every single one of you who buy this beauty.
Okay, Rog, one more toast to bring us home.
I want to raise this shot of Jägermeister, this bolt of human emotion in a shot glass, to my Italian truffle dog, Martin Scorsese, who celebrated his first birthday. And regular listeners know I was poised to call him Carlo Ancelotti before Carlo went to get a pint of Everton milk and never came back, hence Marty, a name that, please God, will never disappoint me. And we have survived a year of Suarez-level biting, maniacal table surfing, football scarf shredding, and the rest. I should say, dude loves anything with the Minnesota Aurora logo on it, bizarrely. But he's such a gorgeous bloke. I have loved every single second. It is incredibly humbling to crush a Morning Joe appearance from my home studio 1 minute, then be outside in the rain and crouching down to pick up a dog turd outside the next. Plus, Everton have never been relegated when he's been at my side. And I only wish his best friend, Tony Hibbert, was here to share the day. That she's not is the most poignant reminder of the conveyor belt of life. And to all you dog owners who are listening, and I know from your notes over the past 2 weeks, there's thousands of you. Massive, massive love. Savor every moment, every walk, every pet. Well, you can.
Happy anniversary to you and Martin Scorsese.
Oh, thank you, David. Quick note before we go. I'm headed to Italy next Sunday. Thank you to everyone who's recommended great Italian novels in translation. I'm going for 8 days and I'm taking 42 books with me. God, you GFOPs are the best. Get ready for Rog coming back proper Italian with my finger purse. I think it's all in the wrist, isn't it, David? Then it's off to DC to raise a glass with you. And Everton Football Club.
You can follow us on Twitter at Men in Blazers, at Embassy Davis, at Rog Bennett. On Instagram at Men in Blazers, at Embassy Davis. Facebook, we are the Men in Blazers. On Twitch, twitch.tv, Men in Blazers. We're on YouTube, where you can see a video version of this very podcast. Really, GFOPs, we are putting so much content on YouTube right now. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe to make sure you're not missing any of it. We're also on Snapchat to search Men in Blazers. Our website is at meninblazers.com. And you can always email meninblazers@gmail.com. Vendor.punk Rog.
War pig!
Was that a Rabona?
I like snacks.
Balds win, balds win.
Take that, Gloria.
Balds lose.
To Tweed.
Abracadabra, rock on, mate.
Kung Fu Fight in America. Love you, Davo.
Love you, Rog.
Welcome home, Matty Turner. Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you, like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.